Let's all stand together tonight if you will. Help me sing it if you will. Desire that, Lord, just help me today and show me your way. I was just thinking what a contrast it is from in Jesus' day it is now when he went to Calvary and how those people were screaming, crucify him. And he was an innocent man, hadn't done anything. And they said, release to us Barabbas. That's just what they want today. They just release Barabbas to them. And they just go ahead and crucify the Lord. And when he's done nothing, and they hated him without a cause.
Yes.
Same way it is today. We got a few written requests we want you to remember tonight. We want to continue to remember Sister Vicki Tidwell in our prayers. And I think she's got to have another blood transfusion if she hadn't already. And just remember her. And yes, God will just continue to give her strength. Brother Yulteg that was in the automobile accident. I think his wife was released, Brother Jonathan, but is doing better. But just remember him, that the Lord will continue to strengthen him. Also, Sister Honora's got the flu. Sister Amber's not feeling well, so let's remember them in our prayers. Please continue to pray for Sister Debbie Miller. She's very sick with a cold, and we ask that you pray it doesn't turn into pneumonia as her body is very weak. So let's remember Sister Debbie Miller in our prayers tonight, too. And I'm sure there's other needs. If you just make those known by an uplifted hand. God is mindful of our needs tonight. He knows what we have need of in this service, and I believe he's going to use Brother Ben to speak to us tonight. Amen. How many believe that? You come believe that God's going to speak to us tonight. Amen. Brother Jonathan, come if you will. Just a prayer, my brother.
Man, are you happy tonight? Are we glad to be in church tonight? Amen. We should be glad to be in church tonight. No telling what we can expect, what we can get, if we'll just get ourselves out of the way this evening. Amen. You believe God can move all of your needs, build your faith. Let's join together as a church. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, we love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's so many blessings upon us every day of our lives, Lord. Lord, we don't even give you enough credit for all that you do for us. But Lord, your word said if we would gather together, you would be in our midst. Here we are tonight, Lord. We've come together now, Lord, with our main agenda, Lord, is to worship you, Lord. Lord, to lift you up on high, Lord, to look into your word, sing the songs of Zion, Lord. Remember what you've meant to us down through time and what you're going to do for us in the future, Lord. Lord, we ask you to come down into this presence, Lord, and receive our worship, Lord, and guide us in our movements and our songs, Lord. And Lord, you see the sicknesses and the needs in our lives, Lord, and in the church and in the families, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to go to each one tonight, Lord. Not another Wednesday night, but a special Wednesday night touch tonight, Lord. That you would come down and you would vindicate yourself again, Lord. And you would move the ailments back and you would move the sicknesses back. And Lord, you would move each situation out of each other's minds, Lord. And we could receive freedom to worship, Lord. And touch your brother Mark, Lord. Touch the musicians in a special way, Lord. And then I asked you to touch my buddy, Lord, Brother Ben, Lord. Lord, as he's weary from traveling from Arizona, Lord. Lord, bring some of that fire shut up in his bones, Lord. And let him come and, Lord, let him anchor, Lord, the word of God to our lives and encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, that we can fight another day, Lord. Be with us, Lord. We ask you, worship with us, Lord. Receive your praise. In thy lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm looking for testimonies to start coming back for God answering all these prayers that we have need of tonight.
Yes.
Amen. All we have to do is have faith and believe, and we can have it. Amen. Let's sing this in the key of G. Oh, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Forward to that sweet by and by where we're going to meet on that shore. Let's sing this. Let's go ahead. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You thankful for Christ, the solid rock that we stand tonight. Let's sing this. I think it's in key C.
Oh, I know the master of the wind, and I know the maker of the rain. Oh, sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peak, my soul can be found. Oh, an unexpected storm may drive me from the high. I know the maker of the rain. out on the water, the storm's raging high, the waters around them were troubled that night, and fear filled their hearts, and they thought they would die, but they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. Oh, and He spoke the word, and the winds all stood still, and even the waters, they obeyed His will, and He conquered their storms, just like He will mine. If I'll just remember that He lives deep inside, so why should I worry, and why should I fear, when the very same
passes by. Why do we worry and why do we fear? The very same Jesus, He's still here. He hears us when we cry too. He knows what we have need of. Amen. And His strength is perfect. Sometimes when trials come, people just want to give up and throw in the towel or run. It's like, where are you going to run to? Where are you going to go where you're not going to find any trials or troubles? When you get there, there's going to be some. But I just thank the Lord that I feel like going on. I praise Him for it. Thank Him for His grace to me. You can have your seats. We'll have our ushers to come tonight and receive the evening offering. You just give to the Lord, and He'll bless you for that. We're going to have the housewarming for Brother Claude and Sister Eugenia on Sunday at 3 o'clock, so don't remember that, or don't forget it. I mean, say don't remember. Have mercy. Tell you what, age is a terrible thing. You young people, when you get there, you'll see what I'm talking about. But I'm one step closer home. I thank the Lord for that. And also, we had a birthday today. No, is it today? I think it is today. Today, 26th. See, I don't even know the days of the month anymore. But it's Sister Laura Pastor's birthday. So why don't we give her a big hand tonight if you will. For her birthday. And Jamie's birthday too. Oh, praise the Lord. Happy birthday, Jamie. Amen. Y'all forgive me. I try my best. The Lord knows I do. And I want you to know I do. I do the very best I can. The Lord is going to have to continue to be with me and help me. Brother Matt and Brother Casey's got a song tonight, so if they'll make sure they have them sing for us.
We've been wanting to sing this song for a while. We've been practicing for a while. So y'all just pray for us to see.
Amen.
I had only known the last time would be the last time, would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. What I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing, and they tell me that it's gone to heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased, and knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, it won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight in the race you've run. The pain is all a million miles away.
The only scars in heaven won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, that the only scars in heaven, yeah, are on the hands that hold you now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not a day that goes by that I don't see you.
You live on and on through the better parts of me,
until I'm standing with you in the sun.
Fight this fight, in this race I'll run,
until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven such thing is broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in on the hands that hold you now.
We appreciate that tonight. Let's all stand again, if you will, as we minister what the Lord has laid on his heart for us tonight.
Thank you, F.
Your grace and mercy.
House of the Lord tonight, St. John chapter 13, verse 23. Thank you, musicians, Brother Mark and all of you. Wonderful singing and worship tonight. Sure appreciate the opportunity to get to speak at the little home church. Just want to say thank you to Brother Joseph and the church body for inviting us and allowing us to have a part of the Wednesday services. And we sure bring you glad tidings of joy. Amen. Had a wonderful weekend, many services in Arizona over the weekend, and we really saw some great, great things. Several people restored back to the Lord, and healings. We had one sister that we just know she was blind, and the Lord started opening her eyes almost right away, and we started seeing a lot of great things like that over the weekend, and we're so grateful to the Lord for the things we see. And appreciate your prayers. Yes. And on that day, you'll have a part in that, you know. Yes. Every prayer you ever pray for the men of God when they go somewhere and preach and all that, you got a big part of that in your own self, you know. So we certainly thank you. And it's good to be home and good to be back in the house of the Lord. St. John 13, 23. And I want to read a few verses out of the book of John. And then I want you to listen to my title tonight. Now, there was a leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop. When I have dipped it, and when he have dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas. Do you have my title on the slide? That's what I want to speak to you tonight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to come into the house of God. Your prophet said, no matter what circumstances may surround us,
whether the people are fussing or fighting, whether it's cold and indifferent. He said, no matter what the circumstance is, it is a joy to come to the house of God. And Father, we have sang and worshiped together the songs of Zion. We have give our part to you to prepare ourselves for tonight's bringing of the word. And Lord Jesus, I have applied myself and studied right even up to the very last moment when you met me yesterday afternoon. And Father, we have done our best to give ourselves to you for this evening time service. Now, Lord, the rest of it lays in thy hands. Come into this place tonight. Come into thy word. Come into thy people. Come into the preaching. Come into the receiving. And God, may you speak every word perfectly. May it be fit exactly where it belongs. And may the Holy Spirit give such a free course of utterance that not one thing can be denied. We'll see the revelation of it clear and plain right before our eyes and in our ears. May you grant it, my Father, as I commit this service to you, as your son, as your servant, I take every spirit under my control. I bind any evil thing. And we as saints of God, we condemn the devil. And Satan, you stand at bay while we worship and receive from the word. For we commit this to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the saints said,
amen.
You may be seated. May the Lord bless you. Amen and amen. What a name. Actually, when you look at this particular name, and is it possible to put that back up for just a moment? If you don't mind, I'd like just to ponder on it a minute. The title slide or whatever you would call that. Yeah, the name of it. Thank you. You look at that name and you think to yourself, well, the very idea of it strikes fear in a person's heart. And actually, this name was not the name of just one person. I'm sure there are many Jewish boys that was probably given this name. It's probably a typical name, just like the name of Jesus. Jesus was actually not a spoken name that was different from names that were given in that time period. And I read today where Brother Bram said that it's not just the name of Jesus that made it unique, but it's what he did, who he was. The same with Jezebel. If I said to you the very name Jezebel, for believers that have followed the truth for any period of time, there is a feeling that is accompanying your mind when you hear that name. You think of evil things. You think of things that are contrary to the word, contrary to the Lord. You think of a nature and a character that was just Satan personified, embodied in a woman. We think the same thing about Judas, but remember this particular name, actually, according to historians, they think that doubting Thomas, that the name Thomas or Thaddeus was actually in a different version or an interpretation of Judas. There were many in the book of Acts even named this, Judas and Silas in Acts 13, that were prophets that went out. Another scripture, Judas, not Issachar. So we see the name was very common. And this was a name that was given in a manner that when you heard that name, you didn't think of it in the same way that we do as believers in the 21st century. We hear this name here, and immediately we begin thinking of he who betrayed Christ. Remember, the name itself is not the identity of the person, but what kind of imprint, what kind of impression that he left upon humanity because of his life, his choices, his character, and the type of decisions that he made at the very, very end. That particular character or that particular life or that particular impression also tainted this particular name. You know, you think of different ones down through the years. The church that I was at, there was a man, he's been dead many years, that went by the name of, his name was James L. Jones, but of course, short, Jim Jones. We're all familiar with the infamous Jim Jones that took the people down to Guyana and put them out yonder and fed the Kool-Aid and just the mass suicide. Just we hear that name Jim Jones and immediately we think, not because of the name itself. Now, back in Manchester, there was a boy come out of the Baptist church, started preaching there a number of years by the name of Jimmy Jones. Same type of name. And if you're listening tonight, Brother Jimmy, forgive me for bringing you in. But we realize it's not the name itself, but it is the character or what was projected behind that very name. You take the name Elvis. Brother Branham said that that name couldn't have even been spoken until this time period. It was something even according to the numerology of the Bible that would accompany only this age, Brother Joseph. And this is a dispensation of time that these things would emerge. And Brother Branham said that Judas in this modern day, the 20th century as he's speaking, was nothing more than he talked about Elvis Presley. But did you also know that he said Pat Boone and all the rest of these type of characters were Elvises or Judases of the modern day? So this name doesn't necessarily mean anything by itself, but the character that is behind it projects everything we need to know about the evil that we remember with this man right here. Now, you know, of course, Brother Ramsey said, if you got a child named Elvis, call it number one, number two, A or B or C, or figure out something. Just don't call it that, because he said Elvis means cat and Ricky meant rat, and he said change their name. It'll set an impression upon their character, and that's true, and that's true. And even though a person could have some type of name like that, I know a brother in Africa that his original name was Elvis. And he got saved, started following the message, and the Lord revealed to him all the things that come with the message. And, you know, and then he read that part about number one or number two. Now he goes by the name of Philip. I think that was a pretty good choice. Amen. So it doesn't mean you can't get saved if you've got the name, but once you discover truth about these things, you want your character to be different than that which was imprinted in those ways. Now, looking at this particular scripture, in the Last Supper, we see Judas is now standing amongst his brethren, and he's in a spot of a crossroads. And this particular man is in a place where decisions are going to be made within moments of time. And when these decisions are made, he's actually going to become a complete embodiment of the devil. Now, this is a foreshadowing in some ways of what's going to happen in the tribulation period, because when the bride goes up, Satan will come down and embody himself, not in a natural piece of wood or a gold throne or something like that, but in a pope that will come from the United States. According to prophecy, Revelation 13, 11, the beast rose up out of the earth, which is the United States, and then he'll incarnate himself in that man. That man will be the complete and total embodiment of Satan's life, thoughts, power, control, character, everything the devil is. Now, talking about Satan, we have to understand where he come from, his background. Because this man that we're speaking about tonight is actually not a son of God in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but this man is Satan's kid, Satan's son. He was, according to the Bible, the son of perdition. The prophet said he came from hell and he will return to hell. Now, we know, first of all, that when Satan fell from heaven, the original reason that Satan fell like he did was because of jealousy over the things of God. And we know that Isaiah, being a prophet of God, when he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, which didst weaken the nations," and so on and so forth. Now remember, he had never said anything from his mouth. But Isaiah said, "Thou hast said in thine heart." Amen. There's that prophet, that word discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Because you see, that's always been Satan's game. It's never what you see on the outside that you judge by, but it's what's on the inside that makes the difference. Satan is so good at his job that eventually when we come to the throne of judgment and Satan is judged before Almighty God, of whom the earth and the heaven flee from the face of him that sits on it. There won't be any more excuses made. There won't be any exceptions made. Once this event takes place on the earth, Satan will be without excuse. And God will so humble him that he will be so humble before the people that we see from the Bible, it will almost be a shocking thing to the people of God. Because the prophet gave us the prophecy that when that hour arrives, Brother Joseph, he said, we'd look upon him narrowly and say, is this the man that weakened the nations? This is the man that did us weaken nations and take down kings? But you see, a deceiver, someone that is good at deception, they don't look like a deceiver. They don't sound like a deceiver. They don't give you the impression that they're a deceiver. And only the elect can tell the difference between those that are and those that ain't. Oh, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Ben, I've got a good judge of character. The whole world is deceived whose names are not wrote on the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. The whole world. So I don't care how good your mama was at reading people or your grandma was at picking up on spirits or ideas. There's going to come a time, a line that you won't be able to cross. And the discernment you've got will not be good enough to see Satan in his full character. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the Word. Come on, somebody. That's why we need the spiritual discernment of the Holy Ghost to be able to sniff out, root out, and throw out any of these spirits that are contrary to the Spirit of God. Amen. Don't just pet things. Friends, do your very best to understand that when men of God have to challenge issues and stand toe-to-toe, amen, with everything from brothers to churches to movements in this message, you think we want to do that? Do you honestly think in your heart that any pastor or evangelist or teacher, apostle, prophet purposes in his heart, man, I'm going to get him this morning. I'm going to take him down. I'm going to walk out of there and I'm going to be so tall and they're going to be so little. Any servant of God that's got that kind of attitude, he's not called to stand behind here in the first place. Any man that wants to preach the gospel and bring the truth to the people of God, he doesn't desire to hurt. He doesn't desire to uproot. But the Holy Ghost will not tolerate sin. And lines must be drawn in the sand to protect all of those that want a part of the tree of life. As whether we realize this or not, folks, we are not in a picnic. Come on, somebody preach to me now. This is not a time for hot dogs and mustard and... You know, fall festivals are good for those things, but not the spiritual warfare of the Lord. Amen. Having a May cookout or a July cookout, that's where you bring your hot dogs, your hamburgers, get some fellowship in. But when it comes to this word, amen, you've got to draw a line in the sand between right and wrong. If you don't, the devil lives in that area of gray where deception occurs. Oh, praise the Lord. Now think about Satan in his own way. When he falls from heaven, he comes to the earth. Now remember this. When Satan actually fell from heaven, remember he was everything God was except for a creator. So that means that actually he was, in one sense, a savior. In one sense, we would say like God is a healer, but he's not so much a healer. He is scientific and can pervert and can bring a type of symbolic type healing or a fake type healing to people because you see it happen all the time. Take this herb and drink this powder and on and on and on and on. And they don't realize that when Satan is trying to put things over on people, everything from hypnotism, you just name it. I mean, there's a list of things that you can see. There's not a speck of God nor real genuine healing in any of that. But the devil will deceive somebody into thinking, well, you know, if you do this certain routine or if you do this certain thing. Let me tell you, the devil has no ability to heal, but he sure comes across like he's the boss of healing. You don't think so? Just look at all these denominational revivals. They'll stand up and lay hands on women that are absolutely just Jezebels within themselves and claim God healed 400 tonight. That's the devil's way of trying to promote himself as a healer. Oh, I know you're thinking to me, I've lost my mind. I know right where I'm standing. That's right. Satan is not a drunk laying in a gutter. He's religious. And all religion is based upon deception. Notice I didn't say Christianity, but religion is based upon deception. The very first denomination was based on the devil deceiving. Every Protestant church after that is nothing but one deception after another. And Satan is so much like God in every way that even today he is worshipped by millions and billions of people around the world and they don't even know they're doing it. Message people and all. Some of you message people out there listening to me, you better wake up and realize that you holding on to the coattails of some preacher or your mama or Brother Branham or some kind of false idea and you don't get born again, you message people are going to wind up in the tribulation. Deceived by the devil, missing the rapture resurrection and never even understand what Christ is doing on this earth at any time. Amen. Deception comes by convincing people that there's an easier way. You take away that Satan come to Eve. He made that thing so smooth, brother, so smooth to her. Well, God doth know that in the day that, you know, you eat and so forth, you'll be just like him. God's jealous. That's what it is. God's intimidated of his position. He's doing what he's doing because, you know, God doesn't want anybody taking the spotlight off him. That's the way he is. He may never said the words, but Satan sure left that message. And you see, the one thing that bothers me about that is because Brother Branham told us how we're supposed to be obedient to leadership and in what way we're supposed to be obedient to leadership. He said, like a team, like football, he said. He said, if you got a pastor, evangelist, teacher, prophet, pastor, whatever they might be, or a apostle, he said, if one of them has got the football, you don't take the football from them, you run with them. Well, you see, I've learned a little secret. If I'm going to attend a church and call a man my pastor, as far as I'm concerned, he's got the football. And it doesn't do any good for me to take it out of his hand and start running and say, oh, glory to God, look at me, look at me. If he's got the football, God will hold me accountable for not allowing him to run and me not blocking him like I should. Amen. But, you know, lady, you'll see an attitude is, well, we're just going to do what we want to do and feel for ourselves and think for ourselves. Oh, I'm sorry, but when you come to God's army, you ain't allowed to think for yourself no more. When you go to the military, those days are like this. They tell you when to wake up, when to go to bed, when to go to the bathroom, when to eat. When you come in God's army, there are general orders that come right from this platform right here. Amen. It comes from the word, comes from the message, and it comes from the man of God who's got the football. That's what I like about a godly pastor. If he knows how to run, and if he gets in trouble or he gets blocked away in one direction, why, he just pitches it to the evangelist for a while. Amen. Or he pitches it to the apostle or whoever. Amen. But the main thing is to understand you are part of a team. There is not one of us that is above another. The only reason a pastor has that kind of authority or any other man of God is because the word has set his position to be over the people, not as an overlord, but taking the oversight for the flock of God or protecting them. And this is why people are they have a hard time with preachers. When a preacher goes to showing protection, they think it's anger. They think you're jealous. They think you're mad. Well, hallelujah. Right, but it's not that at all. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Pat, I'm getting this thing off my shoulders. I'm not a preacher that can keep a coat on, not for that long at all. Surprised I went that long. Now, listen to this. In the message called Israel and the Church, Brother Ram says, it behooves you, my brother, sister, to consider what you're listening at. And don't you never underestimate Satan's power for deceiving. Amen. Don't you never underestimate him. Amen. Now, what an amazing thing. The very fact is, Satan is so good at what he does that he would talk you into robbing a bank and then be the one that calls the law on you when you rob it. And that's how silly some people are. They just let the devil talk them into any old thing. Well, come on, preach to me now. Why do you think we have so much stuff running around this message, around the ranks? Why do you think you got people trying to live in polygamy and live in adultery? And they get married 48 times and somehow they got three words of a quote that justifies them. You know, the prophet said, don't you do that thing again. Amen. But yet on and on and on, you see people slipping and falling out of the way of holiness to dabble in this and dabble in that. Where's all that come from? Satan, the father of Judas. When it comes to Eve, now remember when she falls, she becomes the mother of all living. But isn't it interesting when you take that word living and you go to thinking about it, it's not the mother of all the living chimpanzees or the zebras or the giraffes, that life had life already. But actually, this word living is tied to a living soul. As it was when Adam received the breath of life and he became a living soul. The living here that he's referring to, when he says that she became a living, that he the mother of all living, the living was the living soul that would be permitted and passed on to Cain. The serpent did not have a soul, but he had a place for one. And God made a back door, so to speak, where Satan could slip into that animal and speak in such a manner that a woman that was under total protection of the word fell for his preaching. Why? That's how good the devil is. Don't never underestimate him. Don't never underestimate him. He's slick, He's hard. He's rough. But he puts on a nice big smile when he does it. His motive is to kill you. His motive is to steal from you. His motive is to destroy you. But he puts on such a pretty face when he does it. People just fall right into that trap and say, thank you, sir. Please, I'll have another. He's rough, he's rude, he's mean, but you'll never know it. He hides it. Girls, you single ones, you boys in here, it's the reason why you better pray through before you stand at that altar. They can come across so sweet and so nice and so kind. You better know the Lord spoke to you about that individual. Because you don't know what kind of monster is hiding underneath all of that sweetness and all of them kind dates of a night and under candlelight. And oh, neck like a swan and teeth like a flock of sheep. Yep, right. Until after about a year you get married and you don't dance the tune. And you find out that it's not sheep. It's a stampede, if you know what I'm saying. Amen. Bulls in the china shop, as it were. One fight after another. But if you've got a revelation in your heart, what a joy it is to know, no matter the hard times, the bad times, up times, down times, you can say, thank God I married a good one. Amen. Thank God for my little precious wife. I don't know how I'd have made the ministry the years that I've made it without her standing by my side. Amen. And I love the fact that God let me know she was the right one. And if you pray through, God can show you that too. Now, notice in hearing, recognizing, and acting, listen, Brother Bam says, these two spirits are going to be different because Satan come and lived in a man that was a church member. Now, you think to yourself, the devil don't do that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Satan is religious. He'll never come across like he is some kind of great deceiver. You'll never see him in some kind of a red suit with horns on his head and a pitchfork in his hand. That's Hollywood. It's a child's tale. Satan is so slick and so smooth that when you get the right image of what kind of person he really is and you really see what kind of thing he is, if you've got any Holy Ghost or Christ in you at all, it is the most disappointing thing. Especially when you find out that certain people or individuals or families or churches have been caught up under so much of these kind of things and sometimes live years underneath the load of that kind of stuff. Breaks your heart as a leader in the message to think that people could be so deceived. And you say, but push, play, and obey. If Satan's got a hold of them, they could stack every tape and every book on their head and still never see what they're in. That's how good the devil is, brother. And we better wake up and understand he is that powerful. Don't never underestimate him. And many of these people run around the message with a bunch of books under their arm and eagle belt buckles if they do that anymore and stuff like that, pretending like that everything is okay. You're deceived if you're not born again. Praise the Lord. Listen. Judas Iscariot lived in the carnal church and was a friend of the church all the time. You know, Brother Pat, I've learned a long time ago to watch everybody that has everybody as a friend. Not because a person friendly is a bad deal, but if a man or woman is born again of the Holy Ghost, just his nature alone, is eventually going to turn some people off. And when you see people can be a friend to everybody, never could, you know, there's never any kind of controversy or conflict. Just a friend to everybody. I watch that dude or that lady. I protect myself against such as that. Because it's not that I'm against people being friendly, but you got to wonder, what kind of stand do they have? Where do they draw their lines of demarcation as to what they believe and what they don't believe in? Saints, that's the reason why some of our friends, I mean, you think about your friends that you spend time with and fellowship with over Facebook and other parts of social media. If those people are contrary to the Word of God, do you know how you're disappointing the Lord by maintaining fellowship with people that disobey God's Word? The Bible said, shut them. I don't believe that we should walk around and treat them bad. Maybe shake their hand and say, hello, God bless you. Not walk to the other side of the street. But there should be a limit when you see people that are not being obedient to the word. I have acquaintances that are not believers, but they are not my friends, Brother Mark. I have people that I'll be friendly to. I know them, colleagues in school, colleagues in work, things that I meet on the road out there, people I meet on the planes that I'll email and talk to. I might be an acquaintance, but they are not my friends. If they don't stand for the Word of God, if they don't stand for this message, they are not a true friend. God, I wish somebody would help me preach right now. Amen. That's the reason we get in trouble so often. We'll run to this fellowship and that fellowship, and we'll live with that one and have times with that one over there. Amen. And every single time you get around somebody like that, their influence is going to drag you down that much farther. At what point, saints of God, do we say enough is enough? The Word comes first or nothing else. Brother Brown said real friendship is a gift of God. Oh, but I've known them for 40 years. I don't care if you've known them 140 years. If they're living a life contrary to that word, you better watch that person like a hawk. Or like an eagle in this case. I know you're going through your Rolodex, your mental Rolodex now. Who's he talking about? Well, you see, that's the benefit of always being gone and preaching and traveling. I really don't know who's who or what's what. Which makes me about the best choice for this kind of preaching. Amen. That's right. He said, that's why I'm here and he's there. Amen. Right. Amen. Watch this again. He said he was in the church, a friend of the church all the time, but he came in and deceived, or thought he was deceiving, his brother. He came in and pretended to be one of them. Tastes the good things of God, moves right along in the Spirit. What? He went out and preached the gospel and cast out devils. But down in him all the time, he was a Judas. Because the Bible said he was the son of perdition. Do you know how this breaks my heart? This boy, when he was born, think of him. His mother loved him. His father, they showed him off. They took him around his family when he took his first steps. They took him by the hands. Oh, look what a big boy Judas is getting. They took him to their family birthday parties and family celebrations. Eventually, at some point, he probably got married, perhaps, or maybe whatever it was. Amen. And they watched this man grow up. And it wasn't that in his heart he was saying to himself, oh, I'm going to be a Judas. I'm going to be a devil. I'm going to be a deceiver. But you see, the very opportunity that laid right in front of him that could have changed him forever was the very thing that he couldn't stand. The purity of Jesus rubbed him the wrong way. Don't you know why people hate you? Even though they try to act like your friends. They despise you because down in their heart, they can't stand your true purity. Yes, they see you make mistakes. Yes, they see you mess up. Yes, they see you make wrong decisions. But the very attitude that a Christian has when they fall flat on their face is much different than the rest of the world. And these type of people see this attitude. And when they see that in people, down inside of them, they despise it. You know why? Because they can't generate that themselves. And since they themselves are their God, they're disappointed that they can't be more godlike. Right. Don't forget that real Satanism, if you go back and study the very origins of Satanism, it's not a bunch of people that believe in a devil. You know, I took some time. I don't recommend doing this. It's spooky. I took some time in Africa a number of years ago, and I read through the Satanic Bible. I thought, we'll find out what this is all about. Not that I was looking to convert, you understand, but I was curious as a preacher. I want to know how to approach this. And it just so happened I had a few people, long distance that was riding in, and their kids were getting dabbled up in these things. I was shocked to find out that real Satanism was the worship of self. You are God and you are the devil. I thought, boy, ain't that slick. That's exactly what Satan said to Eve. You'll be a god. Don't you know the biggest deception is trying to lead you to believe that you can handle everything. Hallelujah. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. I've got the abilities. I've got the talents. Hey there, Judas. I love this. Again, the prophet of God says in demonology, did you realize in that famous picture, the same man that posed for Christ 10 years later posed for Judas? That's right, 10 years of sin. Great opera singer to take the place of Christ, come to the place of Judas. You don't have to take 10 years. It can take 10 minutes. It'll do the same thing to you. It'll change your character in sin. Judas was a very religious man. It ain't the outside world. It's right in the ranks. Is anybody hearing me tonight? This is why, saints of God, we've got to always be scanning. Be careful about making new friends so quickly. Test them spirits to see if they be of God or not. I know you can get caught up at Christmas parties and birthday celebrations, and you hit it off because you both like football, or you hit it off because you both like to do some sort of yoga or some kind of thing. I don't know. Pilates. I don't know what sisters do. You know, or some of these kind of things, and you got all kinds of things in common, whether it's golf or maybe it's some kind of a cycling or some kind of thing or baking or whatever it might be. Oh, my grandmother's got that same recipe. Don't forget that human beings are a part of that mother of all living I'm talking about. And just as God can get into the human being, so can the devil. Do you know how many people Satan has deceived through friendships? I had a brother friend of mine way up north in New England states. Him and I was very, very close. And this particular brother, I met him originally in Canada. And some time ago, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that, he decided on a Wednesday night that he was going to renounce the message or denounce the message completely and have the whole church just guided away from Brother Branham. I found out about it the next morning. The deacon had called me and told me what had happened. And I spent some time reflecting upon that. And the Lord had actually told me when I first communicated with him to not play around with it, to strike that thing right away. And I hesitated because he was my friend. Well, I was going to Brother Ivy's that weekend. Sam and I have been invited to help them in their memorial meetings. We were pretty much there almost every year for a number of years now. And there was another brother that's preaching who happens to now be the pastor of that church, by the way. And while we were sitting in the meeting, now mind you, I didn't think much about the situation, but while I was sitting there, you know, just kind of listening at the word, all of a sudden, these thoughts begin to fill my mind, Brother Joseph. Well, how do we know Brother Branham actually said it that way? How do we know the message is right? What if all of these critics, what if they're telling the truth? And what if all of that about Brother Branham? And I'm telling you, I sat there Friday, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and I struggled in every service and all day long with doubts in the message hitting me over and over and over again. I woke up before daylight Sunday morning. I said, Lord Jesus, I've never felt this way in my life about your truth. You know my heart. You are my judge. I have no doubts about Brother Branham. And the Spirit of God come in that room and spoke to me as plain as I'm talking to you and said, if you'd obeyed me and rebuked that boy when I told you, I wouldn't have allowed that spirit to come after you too. But because he was my friend. But you know what kind of spirit was on him? The death angel. But when you step outside of that word, you are no longer protected by the Holy Spirit. You are an open target. It is open season on your life. Oh, don't you realize, friends, that's where the devil sneaks in the back door. He does it through so-called friendships. I know some of you in this church ain't going to like this preaching, and even some of you are going to get mad at me tonight. The Holy Ghost has done told me, but you go on and get mad if you want. But I'm preaching you to the Bible. And if you can't take this Bible and prove me wrong, get off my back right now. So I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord, what the Holy Ghost spoke to me. We've got to sever every friendship contrary to the word. They'll do nothing but drag you into the sewer. Being kind, being sweet, that's one thing. But if you're not careful, friendships will take you to a place to where you'll start lowering your standard to please them. And by the way, you know what happened that Sunday morning when I wrote a text message to the boy? The moment I hit send, it was like somebody, Brother Joseph, stepped and walked out of the room away from me. That thing never bothered me again and still hasn't bothered me since. Why? Friendships. You got to be careful who you associate yourself with. Like I said, I know some of you ain't going to like this, but you're just going to have to open your heart and receive it. Because I'm telling you the truth. Notice again. Oh, very religious. Brother Branham says, watch that demonology. Questions and answers. Judas Iscariot, his spirit is the Antichrist today. He said, put on your shockproof vest. When Judas come right up through that church there, as the treasurer of the church, working with the pastor, Jesus. But when it come time to Pentecost, he showed his colors, showed what he was. I've got a policy in my life. If my friends can't amen and shout at the message of the hour like me, and if they can't cry and be overwhelmed at truth, I'm really not interested in too many friendships like that. Other than that, I mean. I like to be around people that love God and love to have a good time and enjoy themselves and the word and things. But when you see somebody that's not surrendered to the Lord, you better understand they're part of that group of living that can be deceived. All that were alive on the face of the earth are deceived whose names are not wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brother Joseph and Brother Jonathan knows this to be true, but even with preachers sometimes, you got to be careful how close you get to some men. As you meet buddies with them for 30 years sometimes, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they take off on a completely different direction than what they've stood for many, many, many years. That's why when I'm hanging around people and I associate with people, if you stay around me long enough, I'm not going to have a friend in the world when this is done, am I? But when we get done with all of this, amen, and we see, amen, at the end of the day, if you hang around me at any time at all, amen, you're going to find out what I believe, how I stand, and how I feel about things. I may not project it right away. I may not try to shove it down your neck, but try to talk me into doing certain things that I know are contrary to the Word of God. I'll pat your little head in your hand and say, God bless you, but I'm going home now. Taking my ball and going home. I also know why some of you are quiet, because you're feeling condemnation and guilt inside your heart, because you know I'm telling you the truth, and there's about four people or five people or something in your mind right now, and you're going, yep, 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 fits the bill, fits the bill, fits the bill. So what do I do, Brother Ben? Promise God tonight you'll start making some changes. Jesus said if a man puts his hand to the plow and looks back for father, mother, friendship, or anything else, he's not worthy of the cross of Calvary. Listen to this. He says, some people only see three crosses on Golgotha, but there were four. There was Jesus, one thief, the other thief. Cursed is he that hangs on a tree. And Judas hung himself on a sycamore tree. Is that right? He was just as much cross as Jesus was on a tree. Look how far that spirit even went. It went plumb up to the resurrection time and couldn't go any further. Went right to death, went right to passing into the regions of the lost. Do you realize that when Jesus went down there, Judas was already there? Because Judas died before Jesus did. Oh, I never saw that till tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. So when he tormented them spirits in prison, imagine what it must have been like when Judas woke up in the regions of the lost, and some hours later, he sees the very Lamb of God he'd served by and preached by and ended up betraying for 30 pieces of silver, amen, for a meal ticket that he eventually took and threw back at the feet of them Pharisees and said, this is blood money. And there stands the very man. But on his side of the chasm and his side of the chasm were two different stories altogether. They were both sons, but they both had different fathers. Hallelujah! Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Now, look at the prophecies of the last day concerning this returning of the spirit of Judas. Because remember, Jesus became the head of the new Christian race. But Judas became the head of all organized religion. His spirit was the true representation. Brother, I've said it in different places. I read today and last night. His spirit was the true representation of all of the deception that exists in this world. So Judas, like God, the devil, like God, put his son up as the head, and Satan put his boy up as the head too. You know, people tell us, the critics that believe the sign bunch and all this trash out here running around about Brother Branham and these people on their websites carrying on. I'm not calling believe the sign trash, but I mean the trash that's propagated from people about it. I hope God opens people's eyes. I wouldn't call them trash. But the fact I'm trying to say, the trash and the things that fall around about Brother Branham and all these different things that are said, do you understand that people that follow after such deceptions and things like that, saying, well, they follow a prophet. There is no more prophets. Do you understand the very Bible that they're quoting from says the entire world will go out of here in the mark of the beast following a false prophet? You're going to follow a prophet, y'all. Just depends if it's a Jesus or a Judas. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous, dangerous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Woo, there he goes. That's that Judas spirit right there. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know what Brother Bram said? I read him say this today. I didn't know he said this. He said, don't you understand the Bible prophesied that one day teenagers would take over? He quoted this. Look at the teenagers, the Beatles, Elvis Presley, Pat Boone, all these guys started. Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire, all the rest of them, Johnny Cash. It was a teenage movement that turned the world into absolute chaos through that music that God said is bringing on the spirit of Armageddon in the last day. Preparing them for the battle of Armageddon. All that old boogie-woogie stuff they propagate. Every bit of that was brought on by this prophecy about the teenage generation taking over. Look out in the world today. The ones that are admired isn't some kind of great big, you know, old sainted person with gray hair. The ones that everybody worships, their American idol, is that teenage type figure. And some of these boys and girls in the last day called influencers. You better believe they're influencers. And then some of our young girls and boys in this message get a hold of that trash out there and they start dressing like these women, dressing like these boys, acting like them, using their catchphrases, saying those things like that. Amen. They're influencing all right, but they're not influencing them to study their Bible more. They're not influencing them to get deeper in the Holy Ghost. They're not influencing them to dress godly and talk godly and think godly. They're influencing them to get them in such a dumbed down place till the devil can pull anything over them. Listen to me carefully, Tabernacle. I am not a legalist, but there are some things that are just flat sin. There are some things that are just plain wrong. And a lot of this stuff people get their head in, it ain't nothing but a spirit of deception that falls on many of them to get them so hooked into that. They're laying in bed till they're so tired their eyes can't even hardly stay open, and they'll scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. And Satan is so sharp, he put that light in that phone because he knows your brain cannot shut down with that light in your eyes. I feel the same way about God's light. I have a hard time falling asleep on Holy Ghost preaching. Especially when that light's burning bright, Brother Pat. Amen. I like them kind of influencers. Amen. That's the kind of influencer I was under. Amen. I was under them influencers. I like to shout and speak in tongues. Amen. And roll in the floor and cast out devil. That's been my influencer. Amen. Amen. having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, go to their birthday parties, celebrate their anniversaries, visit them at their churches. Go to from such, turn away. If you have somebody that is in a form of godliness but is not born again, encourage them, pray for them, stand behind them if they need support, but keep your spiritual distance. Because until they're converted, you don't know what kind of spirit is hiding underneath there. Praise the Lord. Birds of a feather. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Remember, houses in those days were churches. Paul say, greet them that has the church in their house. Greet those saints that have the church in their house. Houses were churches back in them days. Sure, y'all didn't think them first Christians had a beautiful tabernacle like this. They worship in caves and catacombs. They had home services. Mm-hmm. Right? Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no farther. For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So at what point do we start saying, hey, my soul is important to me? Huh? Well, if you ain't one of them ones that's mad at me, why don't you be an amener and help me? Huh? The fact is, friends, if we don't allow ourselves to have some limitations, if our stand for the Word of God is limited, I'm just coming to church, I wear a dress, or men don't want around shorts and all this kind of filthy stuff like that, behaviors and what more displeasing to the Lord. If that's all my stand limits to, why, you that come to this tabernacle, would you also have a second church, maybe a Methodist or a Baptist on the side? Well, I'm just going to go visit them and be friends to them. Oh, they need fellowship too. I've seen many a potential evangelist fall flat on their face with such stupidity. If God sends a man into a certain place, everything will fall in line. But God didn't call me to run around to the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian. The pillar of fire is in this message. The smitten rock is in this message. The cloud is in this message. And this is where I'm called to preach. Our backsides may look quite awful sometimes, but this is where God's vindicated himself. What point do we start saying, my soul is more important than friendships? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. It's okay, sisters, I'm not about to preach on hair. But look at the next verse after Paul does preach on hair. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now you see, that kind of contrary spirit is exactly the thing that was personified in Judas. Remember when the woman took the alabaster box and broke it over Jesus? They had all the perfumes and all the ointments and how expensive and all that. And Judas was a little contentious about that matter. Oh, Lord, we could take all of that and give goods and feed the poor. And the Bible said the reason he was doing it is because he's a thief in his heart. And he had his hands out looking for that money, 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 money. But it didn't appear that way. But his contention was veiled through religion. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Everybody hanging in there? Even some of you believers not mad are starting to get a little wearisome on me. I don't know. Hang in there. I ain't killed nobody yet. Yet. I ain't killed nobody yet. 31 years, I ain't never killed nobody. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. That's a very, very bad thing to have as a believer. When you peacock around and act like you're bigger than somebody else, you better know right then that ain't the Holy Ghost in you. Mm-mm. That's you. That might be the devil. That might be you and the devil together. Some kind of a mix in there. But God ain't going to have no man or no woman walking around that's full of the Holy Ghost with their chest stuck out, look at me and what I've done. No, no, you get born again, you realize you ain't done nothing. You were just blessed to be a part of it. Blessed to be chosen. Amen. Come on, somebody. A lying tongue. It's a pretty nasty thing if you ask me. You know, a liar never poses himself as a liar. A liar that's a real good professional liar will convince you that what he's saying or what she's saying is absolutely the truth, and they don't care what anybody says. This is the truth of the matter. Brother Carroll used to have a great saying that I've held on to for the last 20 years. He said, Ben, I used to look at doctrines and things when they come in the message. He said, beginning, they sounded good, they look good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He said, but I always watch to see where it leads to. When anybody tells you anything or says anything to you, they might do it with tears in their eyes. I've had them do it. I just want to live right. I had an individual this weekend come to the platform and almost like bucked up at me because I'd called him out on some things. And he's sitting there crying and he's just weeping. Now this brother hears this, what I'm telling. I'm not making fun of you. I'm not putting you down. But a liar is one of the best people in the world to convince you they're not lying. God hates it. He doesn't just feel aggrieved at it, Brother Pat. He just doesn't feel upset. Well, man, they're a liar. Boy, I hope they get straightened out soon. God hates it. A lying tongue. And the church said, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. All you got to do is just scroll through Instagram and look at all of the little things that show up in a feed where somebody's in a fight with that one or a fight with that one, and how many like 48 gazillion hits and likes and things are on that kind of stuff. People love controversy. Do you realize that some of the modern day television programs such as MTV, when they first put on those programs like realistic TV, like The Real World and some of these other things, do you know that what they found with Jerry Springer and the rest of these deals is that people loved mischief. They loved to fight. They loved to see people fight. My grandmother, at 89 years old, with a television, still had a knob on it, had four channels in Clark Range, Tennessee, and could get Jerry Springer. And she would sit there and laugh at them people. Well, surely they don't. Now, watch her. I know what she's going to do. She says she loves that one, but she don't. She loves that one over there. A sainted woman that 2 weeks before she died shouted in the church until they had to pack her out into the car and take her home, speaking in tongues. But even my precious little grandma caught by Jerry Springer's web. Y'all going to sit there and ask, oh, I don't know who you're talking about, Brother Ben. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know all the other names that go in that. You know why? Because as humans, we love mischief. When there's a battle, when there's gossip, when there's some kind of trouble ensuing, our little human ears go, woo, woo, woo. God hates it. That's why when you see a fight coming, a child of God don't run into it. They step back and say, Lord, what is your will about this situation? What is your will? What do you want me to do about this, Lord? A real Christian don't take joy in mischief. It grieves their heart until they can't hardly stand it. A false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among brethren. The seed of discrepancy. And I went down and found the word discrepancy. I got the dictionary. Look what discrepancy means. It means sowing discord, being contrary. Paul said, we have no such custom. As Webster said, sowing a discord, something different or being contrary to what's already been. I thought I'd call the text tonight the seed of discrepancy. And he took it from this verse here, sowing discord among the brethren. When people try in the private ways, texting, emails, phone calls, coffee shop visits, Starbucks time, and you know, brother, you know there's just some things, dot, dot, dot. If you don't smell the devil and run, you're stupider. than the people that pay $9 for a little cup of coffee about this size right here. I made the same thing on my coffee maker for $4.98. They do things under the secrecy. In the still of the night, Judas didn't go to the Sanhedrin when the sun was shining and Jesus was at his side. He did like all creepy, snaky things do, like bugs and spiders. He waited till the night fell, and then he went behind the back of Jesus. And that's what devils do, you know. They pair up with other devils. When they can find a like spirit, listen to the prophet of God. When he got to the end of some of them discernments and things, I can hear these spirits calling for help. Somebody help me. Somebody get them to disbelieve. You see, the devil had enough sense to know when he was in trouble to call for help. What do you think he's doing sometimes when he uses people to play on your sympathies? I've had it happen a gazillion times in the 31 years I've preached. People come in the fall of night almost. You know, I'm just so misunderstood at that church. Well, why? Are you a liar? Are you a devil? Are you a deceiver? You don't know how to be sociable? Don't know how to be agreeable? What's the matter? You got a unibrow? What's the matter with you? Usually that kind of language is trying to work on, like a salesperson would work upon your sympathies. Samantha and I, last year, we took a little trip out to Branson. And, you know, I'd never done this, and I wasn't planning on doing it. But I did one of those little get-a-discount timeshare type things. And so I thought, well, we'll go to this little seminar, and I'll let them beat their gums for 4 hours because I ain't got $15,000 laying around in any way. So if they throw even the best deal at me, which I think was $6,000, I'll laugh my way right back to my little car that's paid for, by the way, and I'll drive it out of there smiling all the way to my bank. So we get into this thing. This guy starts out, "Don't you want to spend more time with your families? Aren't your families important? Doesn't your sons and daughters mean anything to you?" And the honoriness of the Norod in me, I was like, "No, not really." "Don't you want to spend more time with them?" I said, "Man, are you kidding? I'm here because I don't want to be with them there." Sam was sitting next to me. I said, and she spoke up quickly. "Yeah, I wouldn't even have him here if I didn't have to bring him. But his name's on the brochure." But don't you see what they do? They're trained to get your guard down. Oh, God, speak to us, Lord Jesus. To drop your guard and believe they are a friend. Have you ever had any of them salesmen that's just like, you know, let's just get coffee after this is over with. You put your name on that dotted line, you will never see them or hear from them ever again. They will transfer that person to 40 stores on the other side of the United States just to keep you from even talking to them again. This is the way the devil, where do you think the world gets this from? They get this idea right from Satan. That's what some preachers are. Oh, now, you're the bride. You're such a good little group of God's little sheep. And oh, he loves you so much. And you said, yeah, I am, aren't I? I am, aren't I? Always be careful when someone comes with flatteries. It's the difference in being nice and being a gentleman and trying to flatter. "Well, I should be closing a minute ago, but can I buy 15 minutes from you? Don't you want to see me more in the pulpit tonight? Don't you want to?" I can't do it. I'll stop. I said tonight, by the way. All right, watch this now. I love this right here. He said, Judas Iscariot was justified when he believed on the Lord Jesus, accepted him as a personal Savior. He was sanctified in St. John 17:7 and given power in Matthew 10 to cast out devils. He come back after he healed the sick, cast out devils. He come back rejoicing and shouting as any good holy roller you've ever seen. But when it come to Pentecost, he showed his colors. Do you understand? Pentecost in this particular instance is those people that are willing to go all the way with Jesus Christ. I mean, you think about your Facebook account. Friend request. And how many of those on Facebook could you actually say they are my friend? Come I've got nearly 5,000 of people on that Facebook that I'm still not even sure how they know me, much less how I know them. I just thought, well, what's the big deal? Can't hurt nothing. They're not going to get to me in any way because I don't pay attention to that stuff close enough to worry about it anyway. So every friend request, I said, confirm. I preach a revival and somehow I go from 50-something to 20-something. I don't know. Something happens there. And I will restore, he said, Judas was possessed with the Antichrist spirit. Walked plumb almost to Pentecost. Rejoice and cast out devils, shouted with great joy. Again, if you notice about the time Jesus came on the scene, Judas came on the scene. The Antichrist, the one that was against Christ. I want you to notice the natures of these spirits now. Judas was a religious man, not an infidel. Do you notice how beautiful when Jesus came in the form, which was Satan, son of Satan? He came into the world and he went right straight to the church. Like a duck to the pond. Like a hog to its mud trough. Satan started moving on that boy at whatever age, we don't know. Influenced him this way, that way, and the other. And the nature that was remaining inside of him, with the lacking of the Holy Ghost, the nature's inside this boy, his own predestination led him straight to the church. And then eventually to hell, of course. That's right. Notice again. Did you realize Judas was the treasure of the church out of the same tribe as the Lord Jesus? Big man, brothers with the rest of them, sat in the same pew, sang the same songs, worshiped the same God, preached the same gospel, and was Judas. Do you realize that same spirit moves right up through the church? Again, Judas deceived, delivered Christ, he was killed at the altar. Why can't Christians be a fire of God as Hollywood is for Tommy Rock? Let them know who Jesus Christ is. Why? They've sealed their ear. I go to church. I'm as good as you are. That's the attitude. Judas was the same way. The Pharisees was the same way. Judas belonged to a real organization, a real church. He was a treasure in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but his heart wasn't right with God. Why didn't he confess his sin? Because Satan had him overcome. Last statement. I'll never get through these next two pages. And deceived church by the world. The devil was baptized when Judas was baptized. The devil went out and preached the gospel when Judas went out and preached the gospel. But the devil didn't get the Holy Ghost. Amen! The devil could not receive the indwelling of the Spirit of God. But Judas embodied everything that God hated. A lying tongue, sowing discord among the brethren. All of them things that come out of him at the end was laying in him all that time. And as we opened up with this scripture, when Jesus tells them that someone's going to deceive me, he was so smooth and so slick that every single disciple at the table started saying, did you? John? Peter? James? Which one of y'all is it going to be? Jesus said, the one that dips his hand in the sop. And then he handed it to Judas and said, here. Do you understand that what the reason Jesus, that Judas could not hear Jesus? Because the way they sat in Palestine, as they sat around, there was a place of honor, which happened to be up above Jesus on like a little shelf type thing behind him. And John was leaning down with like this, and Jesus said, he who dips his hand in the sop. The Bible said the very moment that he dipped his hand in the sop, the Bible said Satan entered into the heart of Judas. And Jesus said, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Picked him knowing who he was. I read the prophet said today, you think you're fooling a real servant of God? He said, you can't. Mm-hmm. Well, now that I've preached half of you, so happy. We're going to end on a high spot. You say, Brother Ben, you ain't got no right meddling. Don't you tell me. Whether it's Brother Joseph, Brother Jonathan, me, or any other called servant of God, the Word always corrects errors. And if there is one thing that I've seen, you're going to have to understand, Little Tabernacle. When I preach to you, I'm not just talking about Believer's Tabernacle out here in this little area. I preach to the people around the world. And I'm telling you right now, one of the biggest troublemaking things we've got around our ranks is people have too many friendships with people who ain't saved. They associate with people and their ideas. Oh, they believe the message. Oh, there, you better watch that thing even closer than what you'd watch the bartender or whoever else out there you meet. Satan doesn't cloak himself in the world. He hides himself in religion. Oh, but I just love them so much. I just love that person. Oh, they're just such a joy to be around. Really? When you get around them, do you talk about the message? Do you talk about the prophet? Do you talk about the Bible? Do you talk about how the Lord spoke to you in your prayer closet? Do you talk about the good things of God? Or what do you talk about? A bunch of ha-ha, laugh-laugh, jump-jump, run-run, and a bunch of silliness? Or do you have any real depth to that friendship outside of carrying on? Because what I want to know is if they're really a friend, can they stand with me whenever the world is turning against me? If they're really my friend, if the Bible has been preached and the message has been preached by our pastor, a man of God, can they stand with me on that word? If they can't, they are not a true friend. How would you fathers feel if your daughters got a hold of a boy that wasn't saved? He shows up at your front door. He's got tattoos all over him. He's got chains on him. And, you know, and he's got a big old gauge in his lip. And his ear lobes are hanging down. Would you look at him and say, well, bless your heart. Come on in here. Hey, listen, come see my daughter. Let me introduce you myself. You wouldn't. You take one look at him and you say, I don't know what kind of trolley you rode in on, but you find it, bucko, and you get there quick. I'm like Brother Jewel Forney. He says, hold on, my girls, I got two questions for him. You got a job and do you got the Holy Ghost? And both of them are necessary. Amen. But you see where the deception comes in is when that guy's got that same spirit on him as the guy with the tattoos comes in and he's standing there in a business suit or a cardigan. Suede shoes and the whole bit. And he looks smooth. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. You see, those are the people I watch even closer. Because I figure that the devil is a whole lot smarter than what I give him credit for. Oh, hallelujah. Man, this little church is quiet tonight. I get it. I understand. It's a challenge to you. I understand. You've got friends in your mental Rolodex right now. You're thinking, okay, what do I do now? It's not my choice, his choice, or any other preacher's choice. You're going to have to take that to the Lord. And you're going to have to stop and see, how has these associations hurt my walk with God? Because you know one reason why, and I don't mean this in a bragging way, but you know one reason why sometimes I'm the last guy that hears anything? Because usually when people go to telling me something that's completely contrary to the Word, I'm very sweet, I'm kind, I'm a gentleman about it, I smile and I'll give you all the respect you can get. But by the end of that conversation, you are convinced I'm not bending, I'm not bowing, and I'm not moving off what is true. And people learn that very quickly. Oh, you say you're bragging. I'm just bragging on the Lord about what a good stand can do for you. It has protected me in many situations. Some time ago, I watched about 40 people in a church defend adultery, defend fornications and things in the church, and stand against godly people, and them get mad when you pointed to the scripture that said it shouldn't be done. I had people come to me and my wife, well, why are you so critical? Well, don't you believe God's got mercy? If the person wants mercy, yes. But when they habitually live in the thing and they want it and they're not going to take correction from anybody, somebody's got to speak up and say, this is wrong. Though you have to stand by yourself, I'd rather lose every friend I got until my Facebook list said zero. And know that I was standing for Christ and His Word, then become a Judas who sold it for my own gain. Last statement, we go. When the Lord Jesus picked Judas, he didn't pick him with the idea of, oh, I know he's going to get saved. He picked him according to the will of God. You know why? Because these kind of people are always right in the middle of the spiritual move of a church. And anytime God moves, Satan has a tendency to just slip right into the flow and go right along with it. As discerning people, spiritual people, the prophet of God said the only way that we win this war, listen close, we're going home. We must discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Judas spirit of the last day. We can discern it, but are we willing to withstand it? I can hear things on my Facebook and Instagram right now. Cling, 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 cling. Probably some of you in here will never want to see me on Facebook again. The idea that I'm trying to convey to you is that when Christ calls us for his promise, he wants us to separate from all things that's contrary to his word. You as a believer, you would separate from music. You'd separate from worldly dressing. You wouldn't take jobs that would demand you sisters to cut your hair or dress immorally. You wouldn't, your brothers wouldn't go out somewhere out in the world and take jobs as bartenders and all this kind of stuff like that or whatever. You'd separate from anything in your home you thought was ungodly. If you had a Netflix or a Prime account or whatever, you'd be skipping past anything you thought was displeasing the Lord. You'd be watching a lot of probably House on the Prairie, Little House on the Prairie and things like that maybe. You would just keep your mind focused on, I've got to be right with God. But this is one area that Satan is so slick in. He can have people come in under the spirit of friendship. And this is where I'm going to end. Brother Branham said in the word to the church that he would bring someone from the outside into the church and set them under the sweetness. And then he said that person would shoot sulfuric acid or bitterness or poison through the entire church. I've seen it happen. I've watched it happen with my own eyes. And when it happens, people are so deceived that they actually think the person who stands against it is the one in the wrong. My challenge to you tonight is, as believers, are we capable of recognizing the spirit of Judas? And with that, thank you for your time. Thank you for bearing with me. Let's stand. As a boy preacher, as a kid who come up almost as an only child in a way, I always wanted a friend. I always wanted somebody who could understand my oddities, my strangenesses, come from my family's people who were introverted, extroverted. I'm mixed right in the middle. There is a name for that, by the way, ambivert. I'm an ambivert. If you don't know what that is, please look it up after church. Don't do it now because we're going to worship. Keep your phone off. I always wanted somebody who could understand me, stand by me. You know, and that feeling, you know how it is. Somebody close, somebody that you could love, somebody that loved you. And you know, I hear Brother Branham say, when I was a boy, Branham, he said, had a bad name. He said, I always wanted a friend. I hear other men of God, I hear other saints say, I just wish I had a real friend. You see, that lays in the human subconscious. It's built in us to want that kind of fellowship. Don't forget the rainbow color that came from the throne of God. When John sees that rainbow, that blue ray was perfect friendship, perfect fellowship. That's a crave, a deep call to the deep to find somebody that's a real friend. Friends, don't you understand that the devil exploits that? And whether you know this or not, the Holy Ghost is giving you a challenge to draw lines in the sand, to separate from everything that is contrary to the Word of God. You say, they're my family. I don't care who they are. Husband, wife, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, cousin, I don't care who they are. If they can't love my Jesus like I love him, they're not a friend to me. Can we bow our heads a minute? Before you all play, hold on just a minute. Bow your heads with me. In this quietness, I want this for a minute. If you're standing here tonight and you'd be willing to say, Brother Ben, I know exactly that you're hitting right in an area that I need help in. Yes. Now, I'm not going to ask you to expose yourself and, oh, I've got, I don't mean to put you on the spot or embarrass you. But think for a moment sincerely in the presence of the Lord. Can you see how what I preach tonight applies to you?
Yes.
And that you need God's help to try to start drawing these lines in the sand? Would you be willing to raise your hand to the Lord and say, Father, I'll separate from music, from dress, from language, from thinking, from behavior, and even friends and family if that's what it takes. I'm not asking you to be mean. I'm not asking you to shun them or condemn them or put them back in hell and throw off on them and say, you're scum of the earth, you're no good for me. No, you maintain being sweet. You act like a gentleman. You act like a lady. But you protect your heart from those deep friendships that will bring you down again and again and again and again. Are you willing to say to the Lord, I want this lived in my life. I want to express this in my life. God bless every hand that's going up around this church tonight. Friends, I want to say one last thing while you're in this atmosphere, while you're thinking on the Lord. If you're one of those ones that the Lord dealt with me this afternoon, is got upset and angry with me, would you just be willing, you don't have to raise your hand, but just in your heart, would you be willing to say, Father, forgive me for that attitude. Brother Ben loves me. He's not trying to hurt me. He's not trying to take something from me. I know these kind of sermons like this can trigger some people. And that security they've got in that certain friendship makes them feel naked and bare and out of control. That's not the purpose of this. But in your heart, will you just stand there and repent before the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me for getting upset at the word, because it's the word he was preaching to me. And I want to correct that in my heart and make that right. I don't know who you are, but I just felt the air clear. Good for you. Good for you for listening to that. Now I want to pray for all of you, and we'll pray for each other. Take the hand of somebody standing there next to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, Lord. As you have spoken to us expressingly by thy word, we commit this night to you, this people to you, all of the burdens and the things that have fallen upon our lives, all of the troubles and the struggles that lay before each of us. Lord, this is just another hurdle that you've laid before us tonight. This is just another step up higher in the Holy Ghost that you've laid before us tonight. Lord Jesus, let nothing, I pray, stand between these people and that promised land. Let them claim every inch that you lay before them. Lord, if they've got to separate from this, separate from that. If it tears the heart out of them, if it kills them. Lord, if it causes friction or whatever it is, let the power of God sweep in here tonight. And God, may you grant each one of them the courage and the confidence to apply this to their life. God, grant freedom around this church tonight. For those listening online, Lord, if the Holy Ghost is moving on them out there, maybe some of them that would get angry is out there. Lord, move on their spirit. Move on their mind, their soul. May they recognize this is not a personal attack. This is not a personal thing. I'm only preaching where we're at today and the last time we're living in. God, give us wisdom to discern and withstand these things. Grant it, my Father, for every life in here. Rebaptize all of us with your Holy Ghost tonight. Rebaptize all. Hallelujah! Rebaptize all of us. Baptize this little church with the spirit of love and grace and mercy. Hallelujah. May the Holy Ghost fall in this place tonight and bring great deliverance to every person under the sound of my voice. Grant it, Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone in Jesus' name. Raise your hands up now. Say, Lord, I claim it. I believe it. I receive it. I receive it and I believe it in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. I believe it. I receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing together, Brother Mark. Oh, we love the Lord Jesus. Come on, just keep worshiping just a minute. I know I'm trespassing on extra time. Forgive me. I'm just trying to be obedient to the Lord. I know it's late. You've got to get up. I've got to get up at 3:45 in the morning and teach Chinese kids. But listen, it's worth it to me with the way the Lord has spoken tonight. Take some time and water that word. Would you agree with that? Pastor, is that all right with you? You good to sing? All right, let's sing, buddy. Let's worship the Lord a little bit. Amen. Those online, I'm going to hold you a minute. Worship with us just a minute. Let the word fall, the water fall on that word out there. And then we're going to let you go in a little bit too. All right, buddy, sing for us.
Make me a vessel.
Yes, amen. How many wants that tonight? Say, God, let me live an honorable life before you. Friends, family, doesn't matter. All separate to you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Service resumes here at 11 o'clock. Come praying. Come ready for the word of the Lord. Our pastor, I believe, will be speaking come Sunday morning. We love you. God bless you very much. Thank you for bearing with me tonight. We hope to see you in the near future. God bless you. Saints of